I think Uncle Donnie and Marty and I, as we've been up here in front of you, all have the same heart today, that we really want to lead you into a worshipful experience of offering your lives to the Lord. As you fold to the outline on the back of your bulletin there, I put pencils in all the pew pockets the other day. I was at a place and they gave me a box of 10,000 golf pencils, so there's stubby little pencils in there. Use them when they get dull, throw them away, because there's another 9,970 in the box in the back. And the same way with those white pens. If you want some white pens, I got 10,000 of those too. Anyway, today is April 30th, last day of April, and today we're going to talk about the Sabbath. And the text, we're finally finishing in this month the book of Leviticus and chapter 23. It's the first time I ever spent a whole month focusing on one chapter, and it was all the feasts and the festivals of Israel. And the first feast, the first festival in Leviticus, noted there by verse 1 through 3, is the Sabbath. Now, how many of you have ever heard the term preaching to the choir? How many ever heard that? Somebody who's been in church, tell me what preaching to the choir means. I'm talking to myself. Now, as I talk to you about the Sabbath, this is one of the things that I struggle with. I told the board that after working for the church for a year, I thought that this year I should schedule a day off. You know, I should schedule a day off. And I've done a little better with getting a couple hours here and there scheduled off, but it's really, really hard to punch out of this job. I don't seem to be able to disassociate from being your pastor. When I used to work at the steel mill and I hit the time clock on most of the jobs of the 20 years that I worked there, I was just done. When I worked construction, got in the truck, slammed the door, drove away from the job site. Most of the time as a construction worker, I didn't think about what I was going to do until I got back there the next day. You know, playing army, it's really not rocket science. You know, as soon as you can, you just pull something over your head and go to sleep and forget about it. But being a pastor is different. And it's been a challenge for me, so I'm kind of preaching to the choir as we go through this. So, was the Sabbath a controversial topic in Christ's religion? Is the Sabbath a controversial topic in the Christian religion? Is the Sabbath day controversial in church today? Here's the questions that I came up with. See if you got the same ones in your head. What can I do on the Sabbath? What can I do on the Sabbath day? Well, what can't I do on the Sabbath day? You know, can I do this? I can't do that. And then, who gets to set the rules? And one of the funnest things in church for religious people these days is who gets to keep the rules, right? Who gets to judge the other people for not doing it right? Because see, if you set rules and there is things you can do and the eggs things you can't do, then you need a referee or a scorekeeper or somebody to judge how you're doing. And I present to you that this way of thinking that is common and prolific in Christianity is in error. This is not the way God designed us to think about the Sabbath. So, here's our outline. What does the Bible say about it? And literally what I did is I had a day when I kept going from my desk in the basement to the bathroom, to my desk, to the bathroom, to the desk, to the bathroom to get ready for this test that I did on Thursday. And so I took my computer and I did a word search in the Bible on Sabbath. And then I just took the Bible verses that it popped up and developed this whole message from it. Now, if it seems long, it's because I had a whole day of going from the desk to the bathroom, going from the desk to the bathroom. And all I did was fiddle around with the toilet and the notebook. So, here's the outline. How do you think about the Sabbath day? What did God want His people to rest on? Why did God want His people to rest on the Sabbath? What were the two purposes of the Sabbath? Jesus in the Sabbath. What did He say about it? And then finally, the New Testament church in the Sabbath. What did they say and do about it? So that's our whole outline. So, how do I think about the Sabbath? Or, as it says up there, how do you? I should do what on the Sabbath? Do you think like that? I should not do something on the Sabbath, and I must do something on the Sabbath. Is that the way you think? I think there's a lot of people that are in church today, April 30th, year 2006, that are there because they think they must be there. Or I should be there. They don't go because they want to worship the Lord and love on Him and love with other people. I have to. There's no other choice. I gotta. You know? And I present to you that the Lord really wants us to come because we love Him. And He loves us. And we want to get together and do these social things because we love each other. Now, here's a new way of thinking. If I begin to think like that, if I, what if I spent time each week with my spouse, children, family, and friends, and God? If I did this, would my life be better or worse? Each one of us has a really busy week. And there's times in our week that you just feel like you're just not going to make it. But if you knew that you had a day coming up when you got to spend the day with your wife and finally talk to her about the things that are bothering you or bugging you or that you're really excited about, if you knew as a kid that there was a day coming up that your dad was going to spend some time with you, your mom was going to spend some time with you, then, you know, doing all the school gig all week long, if you knew you got to go camping on the weekend or you got to enjoy something with your parents, it'd make the whole week better, wouldn't it? I got almost 2 hours out in the garage to clear off my workbench yesterday while Jules was making some chili for lunch, and I listened to a country western song on my radio in the garage where this mom and son are saying goodbye to a dad, and the dad's going off to work, and the little kid says, "Well, Mom, why does dad leave, and where does he go?" And she says, "Well, he goes to this place, and the guy there pays your daddy for his time to work, and that's how we have money." And they go back in the house, and the kid goes upstairs, and he comes down with 65 cents, all in dimes and nickels, just like me, always got his pennies, dimes, and nickels in his pocket. And he comes down with 65 cents, and he says, "Mom, how much time will this buy with Dad? Is this enough time for him to play catch with me for a while? Is 65 cents enough time that we can go fishing for an afternoon? Is 65 cents, is that enough for us to get to go camping? How much time will this buy with Daddy?" And he says, "You know, I got another 35 cents upstairs that I got from the Tooth Fairy. It's stashed in a special place. If I put that together, that's a whole dollar. How much time will a dollar buy me with Dad?" And the end of the country western song is the woman dials up her husband at work, says, "Honey, you don't have to chase that dollar. Come on home. Your little boy's got one here for you at home." Part of my job as being a pastor is I've got to sit alongside men and women as they die. And most of the time, they don't say, "Man, I wished I would have spent more time at work. I wished I would have made enough money to get that bigger bass boat or that nicer four-wheeler." Or, you know what they say? "Gosh, I wished I would have spent more time with my wife. I wished I would have told her this. I wished I would have spent more time with my kids. I wished I would have told them that. I wished I would have spent more time with my God, my friends." You know what I'm saying? If we did that, if we just took what God said and took some time to spend with our spouse, our children, our family, our friends, our God, would our life be better off? I think that if way of thinking is a life of grace. Here's the last passage in Leviticus for the month. The Lord told Moses to say to the community of Israel, "I've chosen certain times for you to come together and worship me." We talked about those. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. You know, Pentecost is coming up in 23 days. 23 days from now will be Pentecost, and that's a time that we should get together for a special celebration. And Sabbath, we should get together to worship Him. You have 6 days when you can do your work, but the seventh day of the week is holy because it belongs to me. No matter where you live, you must rest on the Sabbath and come together for worship. This will never change. So here's the explanation. God says, I've chosen certain times for you to come together to worship me. I've chosen certain times for you to do that. You have 6 days you can do your work. But the seventh day of the week is holy because it belongs to me. So put that in your blank on your outline. It belongs to me. The seventh day belongs to me. How many of you know what this black thing is? Not the mobile phone. Did I turn that off? Yes. How many of you know what this is? It's got my initials on the bottom. This is actually the day timer of all the stuff that I do and have done and will do. Jules was on the phone yesterday and she was booking a lunch engagement with a lady. And she said, I wrote it in pen. You know, what's that mean? We ain't changing it. It's in pen. I write all my stuff in pencil because I'm a little more flexible. Right? All I'm asking you is to pencil in a day where you rest on the Sabbath and you come together to worship. Those are the blanks on your outline. If you may rest on the Sabbath day and you can come together to worship. We should plan to do that. So rest and come together for worship are things that we should do on the Sabbath. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. So the heavens and the earth, everything else were created. By the seventh day, the Lord had finished His work, so He rested. God blessed on the seventh day, and He made it special because on that day He rested from His work. Did God need to take a day off? No. As near as I can tell, in all of eternity, this is the only day He ever took off, according to what the Bible says. And He took it for a representation for you and I. He didn't need it. He took it for us. Now, the reality of when He created everything, we were supposed to live in an eternal resting state with Him. We were supposed to live in an eternal Sabbath. If our great-grandfather and great-grandmother, Adam and Eve, would not have rebelled against God, you and I would still be living Sabbath all the time. That's the design that He had for us. And someday when the Lord comes back and the feasts, the last three feasts are completed, we will enter an eternal Sabbath rest. We're supposed to live at rest. That was His original design. Now then, why did God want His people to rest on the Sabbath? From Exodus 16, 22, on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much food, 4 quarts for each person. All the leaders of the community came and told Moses about it. And he said to them, the Lord has commanded that today, tomorrow is a holy day of rest, dedicated to Him. Bake today what you want to bake. Boil today what you want to boil. Whatever is left over, you should put aside and keep it for tomorrow. As Moses had commanded the community, they kept what was left over to the next day. And it did not spoil. It did not get worms in it. Moses said, eat this today because today is the Sabbath, a day of rest, dedicated to the Lord that you, and you will not find any food outside the camp. In the Jewish way of thinking, there are 2 days of the week. How many of you know what they are? They are Sunday through Friday and Saturday. There are the 6 days of the week, they're all one day, and the Sabbath is a special, different day. Now, this is the Israelites traveling across the desert, and the manna came, and on 6 days of the week, if you got too much, if you didn't eat it all in the morning, it was rotten, it was wormy, it was moldy, it was yuck, full of maggots. But amazingly, on the Sabbath day, it did not do that. God wanted to show us that. So the explanation, God knew that the busy routine of daily living would distract people from worshiping Him. It would be easy to let your work, your family responsibilities, crowd your schedule so tightly that you wouldn't take time for God. Guard your time with God very jealously. God knew you'd get hungry and He wanted the women, is your blank, the women to get a day of rest. So He said, fix your stuff the day before, ladies. So you get the day off. He knows your husband and your kids are going to get hungry. So make the pot of chili Saturday and the bread Saturday, so when we come home Sunday, you don't have to cook. Microwaving is not cooking, folks. Even I can do it. You know? So do it the day before so you actually get a day off as well. In the original design, God had you ladies in mind that you wouldn't have to be working at meals on the Sabbath, that you just do it ahead of time. 4 quarts of this stuff. Man, they must have been round-belly little Jewish guys. What did God want His people on the Sabbath? Remember, the Sabbath day belongs to me. You have 6 days when you can do your work, but on the 7th day of each week belongs to me, your God. No one is to work on that day. Not you, your children, your slaves, your animals, or your foreigners who live in your towns. In 6 days, I made the sky, the earth, the oceans, and everything in them. But on the 7th day, it rested. That's why I made the Sabbath a special day that belongs to me. So, the Sabbath is a day set aside for worship. I have a friend that I spend time with at Victorious Christian Living, Carly Smith. She's a retired school teacher, and once upon a time she told me these stories of World War II. I was not around when that was on, but she told me that during those times of World War II, there was an intense effort in many nations to industrialize and gear up for the war. You realize that? And one of the amazing things that they discovered is if they ran the machinery hard 6 days and then gave it a day's rest, if they run the people hard 6 days and give them a day's rest, that the machinery lasted longer, the production rates were higher, and the people's accident rates were lower. And she cited that happened in England, that happened in Russia, and that happened in the United States. What I put before you is God's laws work. For 5 years, I run the 12-inch milk train in Northwestern Steel and Wire, and they found that if they worked 6 days a week, 3 shifts, shut the mill down for a day, they actually stopped running steel through it at 6 o'clock in the morning and had the beds all cleaned off by 7. And then the maintenance guys and the crane operators had to work on Sunday, and we'd come in there and we'd maintain the thing. But they produced more product with less injuries running it 6 days a week and letting it rest a day than they did running it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the month. Their production was higher even though they didn't run it for 24 hours. And it blew the minds of the management people away. But those of us who understand the Bible know that's the way it works. God wants you to spend time in unhurried time and rest and worship. God is concerned. He provides a day each week for you to rest. To observe a day of regular worship and rest in our hurried world demonstrates the importance of God in our lives with extra benefit of refreshing your spirits. See, I think there's nothing but benefits to accepting God's way. Exodus 31, the Lord commanded Moses, tell the people of Israel, keep the Sabbath, my day of rest, because it's a sign between you and me for all time to come to show that I, the Lord, have made you my own people. You must keep the Sabbath day of rest because it's sacred. Whoever does not keep it but works on that day must be put to death. You have 6 days which to do your work, but the 7th day is a solemn day of rest dedicated to me. Whoever does any work on that day should be put to death. The people of Israel are to keep this day as a sign of the covenant. It's a permanent sign between the people of Israel and me, because I, the Lord, made the heaven and the earth in 6 days, and on the 7th day I stopped working and rested. So when you look at your outline, the explanation is there's a point to this that we should take time to rest, is your first blank. The two purposes, one of them is to rest, and the second one is to take a time to remember what God did. Next week when we do communion, one of the reasons we take communion on a monthly basis is to remember what Jesus did. Without time out from the hustle and bustle, life becomes a rut filled with activity that's void of meaning. How many of you meet Christians and they say, so how was your week? And they say, busy. Isn't that the buzzword in our lives? How was your week? Busy. Yeah, they're busy. But if we took a time of rest to both have refreshment and remember what God did, I think if we did that, our lives would be better. If we simply obeyed what God said, I think we'd be better. So Jesus in the Sabbath, what'd he do and say? In the book of Matthew, you should read 1 through 12. I'm not going to read it all, but the story is one Sabbath, Jesus and his disciples were walking through some wheat fields, and his disciples were hungry, and they began picking grains of wheat. And the rule keepers said, you can't do that. Right? You're harvesting. And then the fifth verse says, haven't you read the law of Moses that the priests are allowed to work in the temple on the Sabbath? No one says they're guilty of breaking the law of the Sabbath. So here's your outline. Jesus and his disciples were walking, is your blank. So it seems like a walk with your family and friends is okay. On the Sabbath day, you could go for a walk in the park with your wife and kids. You could go for a stroll. Getting hungry and eating grain looks like it's okay too. Ladies, make it beforehand. Bake your bread on the day before so you got it all done so you don't have to work. And priests or preachers are allowed to work on the Sabbath. So it's cool for me to work on Sabbath. You know, we were out a couple weeks ago on a Saturday night. Why are you running off so early? Tomorrow's a work day for me. You know, I can't drag into church and sleep in the pew. I've got to be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed because it's a work day for me. Here's Mark 1:21. Jesus and the disciple went to town of Capernaum. What did he do? The next Sabbath, he went to the Jewish meeting place and started teaching. 2:27. Jesus finished by saying, people, we're not made for the good of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for the good of the people. And verse 28, so the Son of Man, Jesus, is the Lord of the Sabbath. The Pharisees wanted to accuse Jesus of doing something wrong, so they kept watching him to see what he did on the Sabbath. See, there's the rule keepers again. You got to have them if you got rules. And then 6:2, the next Sabbath he taught in the Jewish meeting place. Many people who heard him were amazed and asked, how can he do all this? Where did he get such wisdom and power to work such miracles? So the explanation is going to a meeting place and teaching is okay on the Sabbath. That would be a good thing to do on the Sabbath. People were made for the good, is your blank, good of the Sabbath. People were not made for the good of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for the good of the people. Did you think about it that way? You were not made to make the Sabbath good. The Sabbath was made for your good. God didn't need to take a day off. He did it to demonstrate to you and I that it's a good thing to do. The religious people want to accuse you of doing something wrong. They keep watching to see what you do on the Sabbath. So, don't watch what others do on the Sabbath. So don't do it. You spend the day worshiping and resting in Him. Healing on the Sabbath is okay, and doing wisdom and doing miracles on the Sabbath is okay too. But here's the point. Don't watch what other people do. You worship the Lord and you do what's good for you. See, for some of us, going shopping is work. I would rather have 2 tons of gravel to shovel into a wheelbarrow and haul uphill all day long than go shopping all day long. But for some people, as my sister said earlier, shopping is not work at all. It's fun for some people, isn't it? So some people who it's restful to shop, you could shop. Some people that it's work, don't do it if it's work. Some of you could go for a walk. Some of you might want to go for a bicycle ride with your kids. If it's restful for you to do that, rest. But we're not the same. We're different. My wife says, you're out there digging in the garden. Yeah, it's so much more fun to dig in the dirt than sit behind a desk. You know, it's restful for me to play in the garden. Because it's play. I'm just playing in the dirt. Sometimes I even make motor noises when no one's around, just like the little kids do, you know. But if it's work for you, don't do it. If going fishing is hard work, don't do it. If going fishing is restful, do it. Right? There's probably some of your women who get real joy out of making weird dishes. You just have fun concocting these. If it's fun for you and it's not work, do it. If it's work, do it the day before so you get the day off. Does that make sense? But God wants us to have that time. In Luke, Jesus went back to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And as usual, he went to the meeting place on the Sabbath. When he stood up to read the scriptures, he was given the book of Isaiah the prophet. That's not an accident. God ordained it that way. He opened it and read, "The Lord's Spirit has come to me because He has chosen me to tell the good news to the poor. The Lord has sent me to announce freedom to the prisoners and give sight to the blinds, to free everyone who suffers, and to say, this is the year the Lord has chosen." So the explanation is, we can stand up and read the Bible on the Sabbath. "He's chosen me to tell you the good news. The Lord has sent me to announce freedom is your blank." Freedom on the Sabbath, not rules, but freedom. You're free. Everyone who suffers can say, "This is the year the Lord has chosen to set me free from all the rules, all the regulations, and to truly rest and worship Him on the Sabbath." That's what He wants. Here's the church, the New Testament church. And these are the only scriptures that popped up in the New Testament church. Acts 18 is shortly after the Gentiles come in. We come in at Acts 14. All the rest of the New Testament is for the Jews. But we come in the end of Acts. And here's 18. "Every Sabbath, Paul went to the Jewish meeting place. And he spoke to Jews and Gentiles alike and tried to win them over." That's a good thing to do on the Sabbath, is to talk to people about your relationship with God. How about Colossians 2:16? "Don't let anyone tell you what you must eat or drink." Don't let them say you must celebrate new moon festivals, the Sabbath, or any other festival. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do anything. I hear people say all the time, "Oh, I just walked by the store and that pair of flats just called out to me. I had to go buy them." No, you didn't. You know? I just saw that motorcycle and I just had to stop and buy it. No, you don't. You wanted to. "Oh, I have to go to church." No, you don't. There's a whole bunch of people who don't go to church today. You don't have to. Come because you love the Lord. Come because you want to love each other. But don't come because you have to, because you don't have to. You can do lots of other things. Come because you worship and you love. Nobody can tell you you have to sacrifice on Passover. No, you don't. You can't. There's no temple. You really can't sacrifice on the Passover. But observe Passover because of what Jesus did. Observe unleavened bread. Observe first fruits, what we call Easter. You know, observe Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes. Observe the Sabbath. Why? Because it's a good thing. When you actually look at how many days a year God tells you to take off, it's amazing how many days you're not supposed to work. I wish I could get a contract like that, you know? And lastly, Hebrews 4:9. "As it is, there still remains for God's people a rest, like God's resting on the seventh day." There still is a Sabbath rest, and you and I can have that today. We can have that through eternity too. So what are you going to do with the facts? If I rested on the Sabbath and came together for worship, would I be better off? You think you would? If everyone had a day of rest, would they be better off? If your crabby boss actually got a day off so that he was rested when he came in Monday, do you think you'd be better off? If I took the time to both refresh and remember what God had done for me, would I be better off? Would I be better off if I did that? Just ask yourself that question. If I went for a walk with my family and my friends, would I be better off if I took time to go for a walk, to go for a talk, to spend time with them? Would you be better off in your relationships if you actually spent quality time together? And lastly, if I announce freedom rather than laws and regulation, would we be better off if we lived in freedom? And I think the answer to all those questions is, yeah, you would. So you don't have to do it. But I think your relationship with God and your life in general is going to be better. So we're going to close with hymnal 520. How I love Jesus. So let's sing that together.